today as we come to the table.
If you're looking down and the earth's down there, you're going to see everything beneath you and the earth and the stars and God's glory shining out and walking on glass, if you will, walking on the sea. Just amazing what it's going to be like. Again, it continues to develop. Notice this. He says the foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. So you have these 12 foundation stones, how thick, we don't know, all different colors. He's about to tell us the colors. Then in addition to that, it would appear on top of that, you've got all these other diamonds and gems and beautiful jewelry all around the base of the walls going in. Again, imagine the glory of God coming through all these colors.
Falling Water is one of the most unique houses in the world. The breathtakingly beautiful home was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. It is situated in the heart of a forest in Pennsylvania. The architect designed it to be completely harmonious with nature. In today's message, Pastor Mark describes an even greater place created by the original architect, God. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Words fall short of describing the future city of New Jerusalem. It was described by John in the book of Revelation as being like walking on glass. The foundation would be decorated with diamonds and rare gems. Just try to picture it in your mind. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 21 as he continues his message, He Makes All Things New.
The Lord has been waiting a long time, and He's been working piece by piece by piece in many of your hearts, and there may be some of you, you've never given your life to the Lord. You've played religion, you've gone to church, but you've never made that commitment. Listen, piece by piece, He's prepared this day for you, and He's offering you the kingdom of God. You simply have to respond to it because He's showing you what your future can be if you do respond to it. And so it's all prepared in advance. It is done. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. The Bible says He's the author and finisher of our faith. He says, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. It's almost like He's looking in the future of everything being complete and done, and now He makes this statement through the prophet to all of us throughout time before we get there and says, anybody that wants to come, you're welcome. Here's the table I've set for you. Here's the kingdom I've created. You can have it, but you've got to come. And I'm giving you the water of life freely. There's no charge for it. You just have to drink from the wells of heaven. And that means believe I died for you. Turn from your sin, repent of it, ask forgiveness, receive my blood to pay for your sin on the cross, and then it's yours. Drink forever. It never runs dry. And this is exciting. It should be exciting to all of us. If you know the Lord, it's exciting. If you don't know the Lord, it's your opportunity. He's offering you that drink this morning. By the way, have you been drinking from the wells of the world? How's that been? I drank from the waters and streams of the world for many years. And you know, all it did was poison me. It poisoned me and it made me bitter and it ruined my life and almost destroyed me. And God came and rescued me and said, now drink of this water. And I drank of His water and it's changed my life. I'm now a new creation in Christ. Nothing is the same. And that's what He offers to you this morning, is that water. Listen, I make an appeal to you. If you haven't done that, receive the Lord. He's calling out to you today, and I'll give you a chance to do that here in just a moment. But He says, I give you this freely to drink. Look at verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I love it. You're going to be part of the family. And you ever feel like you don't really fit in? You're going to fit in there. You're going to fit in. This is what God does. You'll be my son. But look at those that won't be. He says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, again, let's kind of look at this more closely individually. Notice, first of all, cowardly. What it means is those that are timid and afraid to make a stand. Now, all of us have been there. All of us. He's not talking about where you temporarily, you knew you should have said something and you didn't. You knew you should have made a stand and you didn't. We've all done that. Every single one of us have done that. It's not what he's talking about. Peter did that. Peter denied the Lord three times. And the Lord again came back to restore Peter. And Peter again blew it after that. We see even Paul talking about where Peter was again doing some things wrong. So he's not talking about perfection and maybe missing an opportunity, blowing a situation. He's saying, making up your mind, you know what? It's not worth it to me to ever mention Christ. It's not worth it to me to ever make a stand. No one's going to know that I even follow him. He says, the cowardly will not enter the kingdom of God. And this is why we need to pray for boldness. God, give me boldness. You don't have to be some Billy Graham or some big evangelist. You don't have to make sure that you share with everybody you run into or that God's going to say, oops, you were a coward. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about a lifestyle of saying, I'm a follower of Christ. Don't be afraid to let people know you're a follower of Christ. He said the cowardly are going to be left outside. He goes on. And again, I think praying for boldness is the answer to that. He says the unbelieving, well, that's pretty clear. Those who just don't believe that Jesus will or can or they don't want him. The abominable, well, we know the snowman won't be in heaven. He will melt quickly. As he said, no, I'm just kidding. I don't mean to make light of that. Being silly. But abominable here, it just means, again, those that are openly in rebellion to God. Those that are in sin, the wicked is really wraps this word up. He says murderers, that's pretty clear what that means. Sexually immoral, this is again anything outside of marriage and really anything outside of biblical marriage. He says they won't be there. This is a very hard message for our day, but something we have to know if we're going to give hope to those who are not following a biblical model of marriage to get into the kingdom. You know, it's interesting, when God designed the man and the woman, it says he took the man, he took the woman out of the man, and then whatever he took out, people always say it's a rib, and we don't really know. The Bible doesn't specify what it was. But he created woman and brought them together, and because she came out of man, the only way that man could ever be complete, what it left man incomplete. Now, this doesn't mean if you're single that you're dying incomplete, because I believe that if you're single and God has called you to singleness, he makes up the difference of what's missing. He becomes that spouse and that part that you're missing. He does that. I've watched him do it. For the person that normally gets married, for those that aren't the single person, most people, again, at some point in their life get married, here's the way it works. God made the man. The man is now incomplete until that part is brought back. There's something missing. So when the woman comes into his life, it fills that place, and now the man is whole. Well, the same thing is true with the woman. There's something missing in her. She's been brought out of man, and to have that completeness, man is brought back into the equation. Here's the problem when it comes to male and male, female, female, beyond just the sin issue in the Bible, in just a practical issue of God's creation, any relationship that's not a man and a woman can never be one again. It's two parts that don't fit either way, which means even those who try to convince themselves, this is how I should be or this is how I was, they'll never be satisfied. They'll never be complete. They'll always be emptiness in their heart going, something is wrong. It's because we weren't designed that way. It can only be complete. He says, those that are sexually immoral will be outside the kingdom of God. Next, notice he says sorcerers. This word has a double meaning. It means, yes, sorcery, such as witchcraft, as we typically think about, but it also comes with the idea of drugs. It's the word pharmakia, and means, again, where we get the word pharmacy. And what he's saying is, again, the two are very closely related. Witchcraft and demonism and drug abuse are very closely related. There's a very thin line between the two. What he's saying is, it's not just those involved in rebellion and witchcraft against God, it's those that are involved in drug abuse. They won't enter the kingdom of God. He goes on, he says, idolaters, that is those that worship false gods, and all liars. He's not talking about somebody who told a lie or none of us would get in. But again, this is as a lifestyle, that is living a lie, being a liar is a lifestyle. They shall have no part in the kingdom. Again, their part will be in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Notice this, which is the second death. There are two deaths the Bible talks about. There's the first death we talked about, the physical death. And then if you don't give your life to Christ, there's a second death where your judgment comes. Your spirit lives forever, but the judgment comes, and then you're cast out of the kingdom into this eternal lake of fire that the Bible talks about. That's what he means about by the second death. But again, if you're born again, then you don't have the second death because you live forever in the kingdom of God. Again, if you've been born twice, you will only die once. That's the bottom line. But if you've only been born once and you've not been born again in Christ, you have another day of death beyond the physical death in the future. And that's the one that the Lord is trying to prevent by offering the water of life freely. So now we see he says he'll make all things new. Now we get into more details of the new Jerusalem. And this is where it gets pretty exciting as far as trying to picture what this is like. Notice what it says here. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me saying, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now we're the bride. But somehow he refers to the city as also the bride. So we are somehow embodied in the city. We're not a part of the city. Don't get me wrong. But he's showing a visual of his bride in the city. The beauty of the city is going to reflect the beauty of us, his bride. And again, notice, I love the angel that comes to him to tell him this, because this angel now, that this is one of the seven angels that poured out the plagues. John just saw this angel pour something out that destroyed the earth during the great tribulation. And now this angel comes up and says, you know what? I've shown you what destroyed the first earth. Now I'm going to show you the glory of the second earth. And notice the restored hope in John. I like the fact that God used one of the angels that was used in the destruction to also show, now I bring life. And now I bring this glory and back through the bride and through the lamb and through this new Jerusalem that's being created. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, again, we know there won't be a sea on this new earth. We know that the first earth, all the mountains are going to be thrown down when Jesus comes back. We talked about that already earlier in Revelation. Jerusalem will be raised up. It'll be apparently the only mountain on the earth where God's throne will be during that 1,000 years that he reigns. But in the second earth, it appears they're going to be, the new earth, they're going to be mountains again. So you mountain climbers, you've got something to look forward to, whatever the case might be. Tongue in cheek there, maybe just one mountain, we don't know, but he takes him to a great and high mountain, shows him the great city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. Now imagine this thing coming out of heaven from God. It's a giant cube. I'm going to give you more details of it in a moment. But it's a massive cube descending down out of heaven. John sees this coming down in all the glory of God. A cube by itself, that doesn't sound so attractive. But when you hear what it's like, you're going to see having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, jasper is a lot like a diamond. Some even say that jasper is the same thing as a diamond. But we do see in Ezekiel 28, there's a difference between jasper and diamond in some degree. But basically, diamond would be the best way to describe this. And it's clear as crystal. So you see these giant walls, this city descending with walls of jasper, walls of diamond, if you will, clear walls. And you think about clear walls. Now, as this begins to develop, when we get this vision of this city developing, I want you to realize this. We're going to see all these colors and all these jewels and all these different things like no jewels we've ever seen on earth. Think about how beautiful they are when you put light through them. Then think about the glory of God. I like special effects, right? Wow. Wait till you hear the description of this. It only gets better. So far, it's God's glory coming through diamonds. You know how they take the diamond, they shine it up, and they put it behind the black there because what they want to make it look as good as it can look, you know? Let the light shine as much. Imagine God's diamonds. Imagine God's glory with his light shining through them in perfection. It's beyond imagination. Also, she had great and a high wall of 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now, let's talk a little bit about this city. Notice here, first of all, it has 12 gates, so there'll be 3 on each side, okay? On each side, 3 gates to go in, 12 angels, there'll be angels standing at each of these gates. Try to picture that in your mind. And names written on the gates are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And there's a beautiful thing going on here where God is marrying the Old Testament saints with the New Testament saints, no pun intended, and his bride coming together as one. How do we know that? Because as we enter the city, we're going to see the names of all the tribes of Israel showing the Old Testament saints and all those that love God and that serve God. But we're going to see in just a moment, I'll let the cat out of the bag, the doors to these gates are one giant pearl at each door. It's a giant pearl that's just open and pulled to the side at Easter. Why is that so important? Because pearls in Scripture are a picture of the Gentiles. They're a picture of us. You know, pearls are formulated by irritation. Did you know that? Inside of you, they are. What does that say about us? Inside of the oyster, there's all this irritation, and in order to try to stop the irritation, a piece of sand gets in or something gets in there, and so the oyster starts secreting all these things to cover up this irritation, and from that irritation comes this beautiful pearl. That describes my life. Now, I'm not the pearl yet. I'm still the irritation. But I've been an irritation to so many people my whole life and to myself. Not the poor Mark thing. You don't have to come encourage me after service. I'm just being open. But God's covering all that irritation up and saying, you're not going to be anything like you are, Mark, in the kingdom. You're going to be a beautiful pearl. You're going to be a beautiful pearl to the Lord. And it's going to be pictured in that door, that giant pearl that opens. I wonder what it doesn't tell us how tall the gates are, but these are giant, giant pearls. And by that pearl, a glorious angel standing. He said, 12 angels by each of these. We see now the Gentiles and the tribes of Israel brought together in this bride that's being married to the Lord, this beautiful picture of God bringing all things together, making everything the way that it's supposed to be, restoring all things, and three on each side, this beauty that goes with it. We'll get into more detail in just a moment. He says, look at verse 14. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. So you've got all the corners all the way around. And now you've got the 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So you got the names of the tribes of Israel at the gates. You've got us pictured in the pearls that are by the doors. You've got the 12 apostles that are there underneath the foundation that are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Again, who's the 12th one since Judas is gone? I personally think that Jesus picked that himself and made that Paul, but we'll find out when we get there. But the bottom line is this foundation that's there, and they're undergirding it. Undergirding his church, and he is himself on the throne, the king there in glory, all of his people together in one, if you will, all of God's glory being manifested through those that he saved. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. Now we get the dimensions. The city is laid out as a square. Now kind of picture that in your mind. Up in the sky, coming down, this gigantic square. Its length is as great as its breadth. So it's equal in all sides, up and down in all directions. He measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs its length. Now that's about 1,382 miles, close to 1,400 miles to round it up, if you will, to give you an idea. America's about 2,500 miles across, I think, so not quite three-fourths of America, but you get an idea of the size of this city now. Its length and its breadth and its height are equal, so 1,400 miles along each side, 1,400 miles high. And he measured the wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. That's about 18 inches from the elbow to the finger. That was an ancient measurement they used. That's about 216 feet tall. So the wall of the city is about 216 feet tall, goes all the way around it. The city itself is 1,400 miles in all directions with three gates on each side. Giant pearls swung open to the sides. I wonder what those hinges look like. The angel standing by each pearl, I imagine walking in the kingdom every day. Morning, Michael, good to see you. Of course, it won't be morning, but you get my point. And they're all there, you know, the angels and the glory and the beauty of it. And it's again, like walls of diamond. Again, just glory. And listen as the description goes on, it gets more exciting. He says the construction of its wall was of jasper. Again, that diamond type jewel. And the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. So you got this wall all around the city is clear, like a diamond with God's glory radiating through it. And you've got the inside of the city is gold. Everything is gold on the inside of the city, but it's see-through gold. What's that going to be like? It's hard to imagine. You're going to be walking on the streets and being able to see down through them. And if it really is up in the air, some believe it comes to the earth. Some believe it may stay hovering over the earth. Either way, if you're looking down and the earth's down there, you're going to see everything beneath you and the earth and the stars and God's glory shining out and walking on glass, if you will, walking on the sea. Just amazing what it's going to be like. Again, it continues to develop. Notice this. He says, the foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. So you have these 12 foundation stones, how thick, we don't know, all different colors. He's about to tell us the colors. Then in addition to that, it would appear on top of that, you've got all these other diamonds and gems and beautiful jewelry all around the base of the walls going in. Again, imagine the glory of God coming through all these colors as it's going. Listen what it says. The first was jasper, a second foundation, sapphire, third, chalcedony, fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Now, these are the colors. Imagine this, like diamond, blue, sky blue, green, red and white, fiery red, golden, sea green, transparent green, purple, red, and violet. And those are just the colors we have on earth. What are God's colors going to look like? That's the foundation, like this, stacked on top of each other at the bottom. Then when you get to the gate, all these other gold, fiery jewels and stones all the way around the wall with these giant pearls pulled around. The angels there, the 216-foot tall walls that are all clear and the glory of God shining through those, all those jewels and all the glory of it. I mean, when you approach the city, you'd be overwhelmed with its beauty. And get this, the Bible says you will shine like the stars of heaven, which means you yourself are going to glow. And I've used this before, so bear with me, but it's going to be like a bunch of lightning bugs going in and out of the kingdom. except it just stays glowing. It's like more like a glow worm, you know? It's like, you know, and you'll see people going in and walking by all the jewels and all the colors and the beauty as you go by. Whoa, look, hey, look, there goes, right? And then the glory of the Lord. What's his throne room going to be like? What's it going to be like when we all gather in there and we're all celebrating, coming to big celebrations there, having feasts? It says we'll be eating. We know we're going to be eating in our new bodies. There'll be glorious feasts there in the new Jerusalem on the Emerald Sea with all the tables set and the fiery stones. It describes them as fiery because of God's light and beauty. I just think of like walking on the streets and this purple hue coming up through the road and all the other colors and just the green, just the glory and the beauty. It's hard to imagine, but it's exciting. And so he describes it all. He says, like pure gold, like transparent glass. He says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So he's going to be the temple. He's the one. He's the reason we're there. It's not like we're going to church. He is church, so to speak. He is our glory. He is the one that's going to satisfy and fulfill, and we're going to celebrate with him. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. Again, just think of the glory coming through those stones. The Bible speaks of the fiery stones in God's kingdom. Now you know why. He says the Lamb is its light. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. He's our light. He's the one. He'll be shining his glory, literally emanating. I think about him on the Mount of Transfiguration. He gave them just a tiny taste of what he's going to be like. And then he covered himself back up. You know, we think, wow, look at the Lord. The Lord showed who he really was for a moment on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then he had to cover it back up. He was incognito while he was here on earth. And so notice this. It says, the glory of God illumined the Lamb's its light, and the nations and of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. That's you. You're the kings of the earth if you know the Lord. The Bible says in chapter 1 of Revelation, you'll be kings and priests unto God. So you'll be the ones going to the earth, doing whatever duties God has given us to do. We're not just going to sit around and enjoy his glory. We are going to enjoy it forever. But you're actually going to be doing stuff in heaven. We don't know what it is. We will have responsibilities. And you'll be kings carrying out those responsibilities. And you'll be bringing your kingdom's glory into Jerusalem to celebrate when we all come together. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring all the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Here's the question today. Are you written in the Lamb's book of life? Because only those written in the Lamb's book of life are getting in. All right, Mark, what do I have to do to get in the Lamb's book of life? You've got to confess your sin to God. Believe that he died for you on a cross. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Receive him as Lord and Savior. And then give your life to him. The Bible says you're born again. Now he writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. And you can drink of the water of life freely. What did the Lord say in verse 6? All those who are thirsty, come to me and drink of the water of life freely. He offers that to you this morning. You're being offered the water of life. Why wouldn't you want this? What water in this world right now can compare to this? What is it down here that's so good? Oh, the kingdom, that's nothing. Let me show you what I did here to my new car. That's nothing. Let me show you what's happening at my job. Oh, look at our vacation plans. We have this new thing. There's nothing down here. Nothing that compares to that. Why would you choose this world and the waters of this world that are poisoned and going to soon be done with for the eternal glory of the kingdom of God?
The New Testament letter of Revelation is a startling reminder that God's real and that he doesn't play around when it comes to people disobeying his commands, because he wants the very best for them. Ultimately, Revelation touches on Christ's return and what it means for those who are followers of Jesus. If you aren't familiar with this kind of faith and are wondering what it means to become a follower of Jesus, don't hesitate to ask us any questions. You can connect at thewaymedia.net by clicking on the Come to the Table section or give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. We'd be happy to talk with you and pray with you about anything that you've heard or having difficulty understanding. Revelation can be a confusing book to parse through, and we want to be here as a support for your questions and concerns. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come get to know us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the Calvary Knoxville link to get service times and directions at the bottom of the homepage. If these teachings have been helpful for you, or you'd like to hear more from this series in Revelation, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. God will speak to you every time you read His Word. Pastor Mark has more to share about what God is telling us in the book of Revelation. So join us here next time as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.